Okay, there is already a postscript to this episode. We mentioned that this might be a part one, and indeed there is already a part two, but I'm just going to tack it on the end. So listen to the bit as we recorded it live, and then when you get to the music, you want to keep listening, and I'm just going to drop in the night before this gets published a little update for you. Here we go. This is what it comes down to. I don't want to live my whole life being on guard.
Hi, and welcome to episode 226 of Art Juice. This is honest, generous, and not sure it will be humorous conversations, but we hope it will feed your soul. It'll get you thinking anyway. With me, Louise Fletcher.
And me, Alice Sheridan.
And the reason we're not sure about humorous and creative souls is we've just spent half an hour chatting to each other before we came on about some unfortunate events that have been happening to both of us. I don't mind saying I had an unfortunate event as well. And we thought we'd talk about that a little bit. And we're calling it, what did we say? Scams, hacks and trolls. Oh, three of our favourite things.
At least we're smiling about it now, though.
Yeah, I think we've had a little bit of a cry, both of us, in different ways. And we know this has affected so many of you who listen in different ways. You've either been scammed, you've been hacked, or you've been trolled online or somewhere else. And we just thought, we were having this long chat, and then Alice said, why don't we just do this on the podcast? So that's what we're doing. So do you want to tell us what's happened, Alice?
Let's give you the context. First of all, can we say that yesterday morning I was on a Zoom call and somebody said, oh, you're all happy and glowy. And I was.
My friend goes, wah, wah, wah.
So I had a little last minute escape with my daughter just because she doesn't have to go back to school anymore. She's got a training coming up. And I think I mentioned it last time we spoke. I was like, okay, I might just hop away. And then I just thought, okay, so do it. So I did one of those things that they do in films that you think is somehow not possible for you, which was find a place to go, book it, and be on the plane less than 36 hours later. And it was an absolute delight. And I did work while I was there, which worked. And we had an absolutely fantastic time. And yesterday morning, I came back. I was in buoyant form. I cracked through a load of admin. I was just settling down to do a recording for something that I'm doing. And I'd been away to chat to Paul downstairs for about 14 minutes. And I came back to an email that says, a new email has been added to your Facebook address. Have you changed your password? Reset request has been sent. Please enter this code, obviously, which I didn't add. Your password has been changed and your email has been removed. And it happened within 2 minutes. I was back at my desk. I clicked on the emails because I've got two-factor authentication, I've got full security on that account, and I have a Meta verified account. And I clicked on it and said that this wasn't me. And then they send you to your email address, and then you can get back in again. And then they want another form of ID. And at that point, my mobile was still on, so I could get a code to my mobile and add it. There ensued a 2-hour literal typing race between me and the hackers of who could get back in again quick enough and remove the other person's contact details. And they won.
And like, it just makes you wonder, how the hell did they get in first? Because we always say to people, put two-factor authentication on and make sure, but you've got all that.
Yeah.
They should not have been able to even get in. So they obviously have some program they've created that allows them to bypass all that stuff.
I have a complex and unusual password that was only changed last month. My mobile was here. I haven't logged in from any different device. Nothing.
Yeah.
So, interesting shenanigans. obviously my Facebook, and this is, you know, for those of you who mentioned, oh, sorry, this has happened again, this is different. The again was back in July and the beginning of August. My Facebook account was suspended by Meta because they said I was going against community guidelines. They didn't tell me what, but that was kind of rechecked after about 24 or 36 hours in each case and just reinstated. That didn't panic me because it was just them stopping my account. This, somebody is in my account now, which therefore means they have access to my groups and contacts. So I have just been trying to let people know through Instagram, just to take care, don't click on anything that says it's from me. Meta verified at this point have not been very helpful, it has to be said, but let's give them the benefit of the doubt. Maybe we should call this part one and there might be a part two. Do we have anything useful to say in terms of security? I mean, for goodness sake, have a different, but all of those things I had. And it's just debilitating.
Yeah, we were just talking about before we got on how, for me, it just makes me so angry that people can take the hard work and everything that we've done to build a following and create a business and do good in our own way, our own little ways, do something positive in the world, all of us, and then someone can just come and take it away just to be a little dick, just to do some little dicky things.
Like, I said toe rag in my Instagram 11 post.
You know, yeah. They're only 14. They're not adults, most of these people. They're little dicks. And I've listened to podcasts where they actually find the little dicks and go talk to them. And they go, oh, yeah, I didn't really think of it that way. I didn't really think I was hurting anyone. Or they are actual scammers actually trying to hurt people. I mean, no, I messaged you on Facebook to say, what time are we going to do the podcast? Nobody's taken advantage by messaging me back and trying to get me to click anything or do anything. So at the moment, they don't seem to be doing anything with your account. But
no, and what I have done is I've removed, I've cancelled bank cards and done all of that kind of stuff. So who knows? But I mean, it leaves me in a quandary on a couple of places. You know, a Facebook account, I can start again, a personal one. I can reach out to friends and start that again. Guess I've lost a whole batch of photos, but I had those photos anyway. You know, they're on my camera somewhere. So I can get over that. I do like being part of Facebook groups. It's made me think my own Facebook art page, if I'm honest, I haven't paid too much attention to recently. So there's 10,000 people on there. I have my mailing list. I can contact people and let them know what's happened. The timing of when to do that is interesting to consider. But what it's really made me think about is A, the community for my own membership, which I did visit earlier in the summer, and bringing that to another platform. But again, that's just a decision that needs to be taken. What it's made me think more about is our whole relationship, again, with social media, because I was thinking at 5 a.m. this morning, it's a little bit like, you know, if you move into a new house and it's new and it's exciting and you're making changes and you're redecorating and you're pulling up the old lino and you're putting the elbow grease and you're scrubbing it and you're making it yours. That part of it is fun. When it all starts falling to pieces and you have to do it again. Talking about my house now, hello. Not so much fun. Honestly, at this point, just expenses, not so much fun. Not so much fun. It's a little bit like that. Like building something new is a challenge. Like building a following, creating something, that's fun and exciting. Starting again with it the way it is now, do I want to do that? It's honestly made me think, do I just shut down the whole of everything online? Because as you and I were saying in our discussion, we think this is only going to get more complex and worse. And how do we protect ourselves?
Yes. And, you know,
without panicking people, this is the thing. Do we discuss this with you guys? We don't want to panic you. But yeah,
it is the reality, I think, of our future, that we all have to get savvier and savvier and savvier as AI comes in. I mean, I've heard of, don't know anyone who's experienced this personally, but now AI can replicate people's voices. So you can get a phone call from Amy saying, help mom, I need some money. Send me some money now. And it can sound like Amy, and you can send the money or do the thing or whatever. And then it turns out it's not Amy. It's just someone who's taken her voice and faked it. And that's going to become more and more common. And banks are more and more warning us. I mean, my thing I've told you about, and I won't go into the details of it because it's boring, but I was in the process of looking at purchasing a commercial property, and in that transaction my solicitor asked me to transfer some money, and I did, because it came from my solicitor in an email chain that we had been going for a month, and I transferred money, and then only found out 2 weeks ago, maybe 10 days ago, that when I came, because I'm not buying that building now, and came to ask for the money back, got a panicked phone call from him, because he'd realized his systems had all been hacked, and that presumably I am not the only person who got an email asking for money, because all he's a conveyancing solicitor, so there will have been other people that he's working with. And that's ongoing for me now to recover that. But I've known of people who got involved, who've been scammed in bank scams. My best friend's dad, who's passed away now, but he lost £70,000, which was a huge amount of money for him. And he was slightly beginning stages of Alzheimer's, and somebody rang him up and told him to transfer money and not to tell his family. And he did. And he was a former bank manager. So I've even seen that, and I still did the thing in a hurry, not like, oh yeah, that's my solicitor, that's fine, not paying attention, I won't make that mistake again. But you didn't even make a mistake. But then the point is, I think the hackers, the scammers are going to get more and more sophisticated. When I go on my Instagram now, the combination of attempted scams, attempted hacks, because I've had security codes come through when I know I'm not trying to log into my account, so someone is, trolls, there's very few trolls, but there are trolls. I've got a couple of people who like to plague me by sending me negative comments and telling me how much they don't like me on a regular basis. It's like, why am I even bothering? But then there's so much positive stuff on there, and the positive far outweighs all the negative.
It does. The positive does. And this is the thing. It's, you can't let them win.
No.
So you can't let the positive be taken away.
No.
And how do we move forward? Like, you know, there's a contact of mine on Facebook, and he was, and it is fascinating, but he was celebrating an AI thing the other day on Facebook. So he reads something in English. It will create new videos of him speaking in French, Italian, Spanish, German, Japanese, and it will modify the video of his lips moving. And somebody else even said, I'm a French speaker and I watched this with the sound off and I could tell what you were saying from lip reading.
Wow.
Now, it's fascinating. It's clever. It's horrendously dangerous when we put it into the context of this kind of conversation. Because even now, you know, the emails I'm getting from Meta Security, do you know what? They're not the best English.
No.
I've checked them. I've checked the email and it's a proper verified sending thing. It's not proper English. It doesn't read like a proper email. And what do they want me to click a link, which I haven't clicked yet.
Yeah.
You know? So What does it do? Does it cause us to just simply withdraw and retreat back into our shell?
Because I have a couple of friends who've never gone online, never been involved with online, have nothing to do with it. Their business doesn't depend on it. They have one's my friend who's the teacher, because he stayed away for reasons that are obvious as a teacher, just don't get involved. One's a person whose business does not involve on the internet, and they're very happy not being involved with social media. They don't have, one of them was saying to me recently, it seems like if you're on social media, you're just constantly comparing your life with other people's that seem better than yours. So why would I want to do that?
Mm-hmm.
Which is true. And my friend John, as he's doing his writing, he's had to go on Instagram to start promoting himself and doing the whole
thing. That's the thing.
He's not enjoying that side of it, and he never was involved before. So, but we couldn't do our businesses without it. So
no, and that's the problem, is that even if you go other routes, say I go, right, I'm off social media, I'm going to spend next year just writing this book, any kind of publication through a publisher, they want to know your social media following.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know, it is inherently part of,
at least for your first book, if you had a successful book, you might be they might be less concerned.
Nope. This person I know, he's on his fourth book and they still want to know what his social media marketing strategy is going to be for it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
you either say, right, I am focusing on my art and I am going the art world route, and I am going to try and get Charles Saatchi to notice me and buy all my paintings in one go.
Don't think that's the solution.
Because he's probably not really focused on social media. Or we give up.
Mm-hmm.
Which doesn't seem an option. I mean, there are ways that there's podcasting, for example. Podcasting cannot be hacked and is safe and is a way of reaching people.
Yeah.
But one of the benefits of the podcast is that people then go look for you on social media, sign up for your newsletter or whatever. Yeah. But you could just podcast and say newsletter, newsletter, newsletter. You could Substack, but then that would be subject to hacking if it ever became big.
Yeah, and it's interesting. I was looking at Substack again before all of this, actually. And I still feel on Substack that you're building content on somebody else's platform.
Yeah.
And I'm in receipt of some Substack things, and I don't like it. It feels annoying. Yeah. And I can't work out how to turn off alerts for certain things on my phone. So like my phone pings with a noise that I haven't quite got used to ignoring yet. And it doesn't, we use social media, like for me, Instagram and Facebook groups. Oh, okay. I'll check in with that and see what's going on. It's within our control. Whereas emails is in the broadcast category. It doesn't have that two-way community element. That's what I think I have to be looking for.
Yeah. As soon as you have a two-way community element online, it's subject to, because I was thinking, well, you can focus on Pinterest, but Pinterest's subject to hacking just as much as anything else. So anything we do online, we're always going to be subject to this. And we until now, I've always thought, as long as I'm careful and as long as I have two-way authentication and I don't click any links, I don't know where they come from, and I don't, then I'll be fine. And until now, that has been the case. But now that I've seen this happen to you, then that isn't always the case, because your information could have been part of a data breach on an entirely different, or on Facebook, it could have been part of a Facebook data breach. And
that would be much more likely if the password had been one that I'd had for a long time. But
I mean, it has to be that. How could it be anything else if you didn't click anything? Because they have to have had your original password to get. So they could have just had they could have hacked into Facebook yesterday, got a bunch of passwords. But in any way, so it's totally something you couldn't defend against. So that means yeah, we're left in a situation of, do we live with it? Do you just have a smaller, more loyal community that comes to you through something like podcasting, which is, as you say, one way, because the only way people can feed back to you is through social media messages, or it can be emails, but most people won't sit and write an email.
No.
Or do you build a, you're in London, do you build an in-person network going old school?
Yep.
Like the old business networking groups. Do you remember where you'd get like 15 businesses would come together and they'd all join, form a networking group? Do you do something like that? Do you start, do you pioneer a new style, old school artist networking?
And I think if it was just about the art, my art, that is a route forward. What feels difficult for me is this idea of, I don't want to say pulling the plug, because I won't be doing that. But the community space that we have built and what that gives to other people all across the world.
Mm.
That can't stop.
No, no.
That's, it's not fair that just because this has happened, that that is taken away from everybody else.
No. And it is very hard to, I'm not going to say impossible, because nothing's impossible, but it is hard to build a network or a group like that outside of Facebook at the moment. Yeah. I was saying to you that I downloaded a little course that you just work on your own. And as part of the instructions, it said, join a Facebook group or come and join us on the something forum, you know, this the special dedicated forum. And I was like, I don't know what that is. Click the Facebook group. That's easy. I clicked the group. I asked to join. And now I'm able to see the work of other people who are doing the course, which is what I want. That's the interesting part. So it's very hard to find a way to create that somewhere else. With your group,
where I could do it on Circle or Heartbeat or something like that.
You could, where people are paying, it's a bit different. But I still suspect you get far less engagement, because it's very easy for me during a working day
to check in, as I said, check in on Facebook.
Yeah, I'll see what Alice's group's doing and I'll just have a quick read through.
Yeah.
Whereas if I have to log in, remember my password, oh God, I can't remember that. It's on a different computer that I logged in last time.
Well, you wouldn't have to do that. It would just be another app that just sat next to your Facebook app. And once you were in, you just click that instead of going into a Facebook group. So
if
it would
be
clean.
On your phone, I don't do anything on my phone. I do it on my computer. I still don't use my phone for much. Now, I'm quite unusual for that, but
yeah,
I'm sit here doing my accounts or whatever, doing whenever I'm doing something boring on the computer, I'm like, oh, I'll just have a quick look on Facebook. The only thing I do on my phone actually is Instagram, because that's the phone. It's always been the phone thing.
Yeah.
But I am unusual and weird in that, I know, because most people do things on a phone or iPad now.
The bigger picture thing about it is like, if this continues like this, because I've had so many either DMs on Instagram or WhatsApp messages from people who I'm in contact with who know so many people that this has happened to, and it seems to be happening a lot at the moment, is like, we're talking about Facebook being essential. I've already had messages from people saying, I'm in your membership, but I'm not in the Facebook group. If you move, that would be great for me. But we're talking about Facebook being essential. Are they in danger of imploding themselves if they don't get a handle on this? Like Masseri, Adam Masseri on Instagram yesterday, something about AI animation stickers. The comments under that post that he did about people, one of them being mine, saying, can you stop fussing with stuff like this and sort out, you know, account impersonations. There's somebody else I know this week who's had duplicate accounts set up that look identical for hers, and then sharing dodgy links on her page.
Yeah.
And why are they not taking care of that? It's their own commercial intellectual property, isn't it? Why are they not being more proactive? Why are they not responding better when these things happen? Why are they not putting more controls in place to bring security? I've done everything they told me to.
Yeah.
And, you know, maybe it is all just gonna.
Why don't they have an entire building full of 14-year-old hackers who can help when this happens? Like, I was thinking the solution, I know somebody this happened to solved it by paying a hacker to get her account back. And if this happened to me, that's the first thing I'd want is a friendly hacker. So I'm thinking we need to go find friendly hackers.
Really?
Yeah, because how else are you going to fight fire with fire, I think? But you need to find one that's recommended. Just like any tradesperson, like who's recommended. I mean, they can hack you anytime.
I'm in contact with somebody who helped somebody else on a hacked account, but so far even he says we've had problems with this because we don't understand how they get in when you've got
right.
But he said you're right, it's just a question, we need to be faster than them.
Yeah. So it's like, why doesn't Facebook have an absolute army? Because they'd be scared of how to manage it. No, we can't control them and whatever. But they're out there anyway, so you might as well have the ones on your side. So I don't know what the answer is, other than I would say in my case, my situation was be more vigilant. But my situation was not something, it wasn't something I couldn't have guarded against if I was really, really careful. Yours,
that's the be more vigilant. The be more vigilant is the same as along the lines of, I mean, they're still sending them, aren't they? My wife has been looking at your artworks.
Oh God,
that still comes. And
are you open for commissions?
What is that all about?
Excuse me, are your paintings for sale? Oh, piss off. Really? I actually swear and write back to people. I take the time out of my day to write F off, because I just think, you scumbag, you little scumbag, or you big scumbag, or you old scumbag. Like, you're taking your creative energies and using them.
And this is the thing. This is the thing. It's the time. It's the time to go through Instagram and remove users and block and delete accounts that have, you know, haven't even contacted me yet. They're just dodgy and they're following me. And I do that every day. Every day. Okay, it doesn't take that long, but it's a little micro.
Yeah.
You know, that interferes. All I wanted to do, I was like, I'll crack on with my admin, I'll get this done, and then, you know, I'm thinking about the next paintings I want to get going to go with these ones for Manchester Art Fair. I was on such a roll. Honestly, I was on such a roll. And now I can't just drop this. I've got to get this at least resolved to a certain extent, and now possibly have to investigate setting up an entire new community platform. Wasn't in my plan for next week, if I'm completely honest.
I suppose I'm going to do the flip side now. So both of our businesses could not possibly have grown or existed or done what we've done without social media. So in 1980s, when I was coming out of school, this was not even a feasible plan to create something like this. You would have needed investors and advertising money, and even then advertising went to everybody, not just to specific people. So you'd have to advertise on local radio to try and find the odd artist listening, and it would just be impossible. So we have to, I think we also have to take a step back and say, in the past, artists could not sell their work unless they found a gatekeeper to give them permission to approve of them and to take some of their money. And all of that has changed, and we are all given a lot more creative opportunities because of social media.
Yeah.
So we tend to, when something bad happens, get focused on, oh, but that's the negative. Even email and what happened to me, without email marketing and email in general, what I've done wouldn't be possible. And I couldn't sell my paintings because they sell to my email list and all of that. So there is a positive side to it. It's just that we had a few years of complete positive. So we had a few years where this came along and we were able to use it free. I've mentioned this before, but I always remember being on Twitter in the very early days and some marketing guy saying, what I love about Twitter is it's such a nice place and everybody's so nice to each other. And you definitely wouldn't say that in more recent years. So you get this honeymoon period, everything's great. Now we're getting the crash from it and it will never go back to honeymoon.
No.
But maybe the companies will find a way to tackle. I mean, we're saying, why don't they deal with it? But I imagine
I'm sure they
even
do.
Your hacker friend doesn't know how they're doing it. Maybe Facebook is constantly scrambling to try and deal with this. And it's only going to get worse with AI. Do we just say this, we accept? Do we just accept, which is my word of the moment, do we just accept that from time to time, we might lose our accounts, so we work in a different way where we accept that might happen. We have multiple, like we already have our email and our podcast, and we all think of other ways, whether that's exhibiting in person, like you're doing art fairs and things, and we just be aware that this, and we almost see social media as a bonus. This is the extra bit we get to do. Because if you moved your community somewhere else, then social media for you would just be the marketing side. Do you just see it as a, I mean, sorry, I was going to.
I don't even really see it as marketing in that sense. It's just, I mean, for me, so much of it is the social.
Yeah.
Social.
Yeah, I see it as marketing. So I'm not social. So I was going to say one other way I could see doing this in the future is to say, I'm not bothering with Instagram or Facebook. I'm not doing any of that, but I am paying for paid advertising. And so I've just had a really interesting exercise on my course where I've just had the results back from the Facebook campaigns and the marketing campaigns. And I can see exactly, we've honed it down to see exactly who signed up as the result of a Facebook ad at some point in the last 6 months, seeing an ad and coming into my world. And it was, of my course sales, it was almost half came from someone who came into my world through a Facebook ad. The conversion rate on those people was half what my conversion rate was of people who were organically already following me from some other, from the podcast, from the YouTube, from something else. So I get a much higher conversion rate. I get 6% conversion rate on those people and I get 3% on strangers. But still, you know, nearly half the sales came from Facebook ads. So there, and it was cost effective, very cost effective, extremely. So there is a world in which I could say, well, all right, no more personal Instagram and Facebook, I'll just pay. And that way I can, if my account gets hacked, I can set up another account. And I could just do that under different names forever and ever, under different profiles. But it doesn't sound exciting. I don't feel, but if I needed it for business purposes or to market an exhibition or something, you could do that and do the podcast and do and have more time where you're not constantly thinking about, because I know for you it's social, but for a lot of people listening, they are only doing it so people see their paintings.
Yeah, well, it's a mix of that and social. I suppose what I mean is that I don't have that kind of systematic strategy and a paid strategy like you have.
But you could.
Do I want to be paying them for
but
doing
say
it
you wanted time? To keep your community going, you've got it on a separate platform now, you want to keep bringing new people in because people leave, we always lose members, so you need to bring new people in. Say you just said, all right, I'm not doing Facebook or Instagram because I'm tired of the whole shebang. I'm doing my podcast or I'm doing whatever else. And I'm going to run ads when I want to. I'll do a campaign. It would be just the same as you chatting on Instagram, but you're just paying to promote it. And then you turn them off when you're done with your promotion. You don't worry about it for another 6 months. Then you come on and do it again. I mean,
fine until your account gets hacked.
Yeah, and then you have to set up Alice Sheridan Art 1 instead of Alice Sheridan Art, and you start again.
You see, that sounds exhausting.
Yeah. Well, if you were to do it yourself, I would definitely have someone else do that side of it for me. It's something I've been thinking about, just because I think this is exhausting for a lot in the long term to think about coping with this kind of risk. Like, it's taken me a long, long time to get a following on Instagram. If that was suddenly hacked and it went away, nightmare. That's years worth of work gone. Whereas I could just run ads that could be very personal, enjoyable and educational. They don't have to be creepy ads. But I wouldn't have to be worrying about that side of things. Someone else could worry about that. And I would just let them have my account and do whatever they were doing. Don't know.
I'm just not sure that energetically I want to lean in that direction at all. Mm. Anymore, mm. Really. I mean, you know, I might change my mind again, but
yeah.
You know, there is no doubt it's a pain in that.
I mean, there are other things for the membership, and this.
Oh, there's lots of other things for the membership. I'm not worried about that.
Programs,
and I think, yeah, but I think
marketing.
That in the long term, it could even work out better. As you say, I think there will be some kind of conflict because Facebook does make it so easy. Mm. But one of the things when I came back from holiday, as we always do, is think, you know, simplify, you know, maybe this is it. This is a big old bang on the head for simplifying and just taking care of where you do put your energy.
I did say to you, it feels like to me you've had this year really big change where you've put a lot of effort and energy into having fun, like doing things that you enjoy, and focusing where you really feel best. And I've seen, watching you, the difference in you from that focus. And the only times this year that I've seen you stressed or tense or unhappy have related to social media and or technology. Like, those are the only times when someone's come in and taken away, Facebook's banned you, or this thing's happened, or, and then you go, like we all would, tight and tense and stressed again. And it feels like almost like the universe is going, Alice, like, there's this over here where you feel really good, and there's this over here where you don't feel good. Can we guide you over here a bit so you feel more like this more often? And I can see a way where you would be happy on a different platform with the membership, and where you could promote the membership in ways that, okay, you don't feel good about paid advertising, but an organized referral program where current members can refer people and get a benefit for that, or affiliate marketing where you just pick a few people you like and they help you promote your thing to other people. Because there are ways, and the podcast, and there are ways to reach people where you wouldn't have to be on that Facebook treadmill if you didn't want to be. And maybe you'd be just, maybe once you got rid of it, it would just be like, phew.
Mm.
And like you said, there'd be loads of members, because I get this on my course and in the membership, of people saying, I wish it wasn't in Facebook, because I don't belong to Facebook and I can't go in the group.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe it is just a big push.
Maybe it's our limiting belief that Facebook groups are the only way to have a group. We've told each other that for years, but maybe we're not right about that.
Well, there's certainly different views on it. I'm going on my experiences so far as a user, and also what I have seen for other people. And it is also true to say that there are, as you say, lots of people who prefer communities in other spaces. So it's not true to say that that Facebook is the only way of doing it. As with everything, there's pros and cons, and this is for sure a con. If you say to me, how would your life look if you didn't have social media? Would it be richer? I would say it would be a lot quieter and calmer. It would be more insular. But I don't know if it would be richer without it. I like it. Damn it.
You always read those articles by people who say, I went a year without Twitter or whatever it was they were using. And yeah. Then they always do say that they feel a lot happier. But often at the end of the article, they go back to using it again.
Well, maybe this was just a part one. And we'll come back with a part two. No massive advice other than, you know, do everything that you can at the moment with your accounts. You know, we all know that those dodgy emails are the dodgy emails. But as I say, this one was, you know, sort of not a dodgy email for a start. Nothing I clicked, nothing I did. Kind of unstoppable. And as for trolls, just don't bother. You know, what a waste of your life. Don't be mean and bitter and twisted. Go and do something nice. Look at Daisy. Look at the sky. Go for a swim instead.
With trolls, I always think if you've got a troll or trolls, just imagine how unhappy you would have to be to go around making negative comments about another person. Like, I see things all the time I don't like. I listen to podcasts all the time by people who irritate me. I wouldn't even dream of leaving a comment for them to tell them or writing them an email or a DM. I would just leave them be. And I just find it quite, it's almost like that person is putting a big red flag up saying, I'm miserable and now I want you to be miserable too. And yeah. It doesn't work, but I see on my students, with my students, so often their trolls are family members or friends who become trolls when they see the artwork they're doing on a course where they're trying to stretch themselves.
Yeah.
And they get so hurt by these negative comments when really, would you do that? No, you would never would. So don't sweat it. Just feel sorry for them. Ask them if they're okay, maybe. Are you feeling all right? Because you seem really unhappy. And then just leave it be. Yeah, we didn't really.
This is what it comes down to, isn't it? Ultimately, like, nobody is perfect all of the time, right? But are you the kind of person who's trying to do good, or are you the kind of person that's putting your energy and effort into bringing things and people down? And if you're the latter, like, you know, maybe those people are in a desperate situation. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know yet what they've got to get out of it. I've done everything I can to protect myself and hopefully the people that I'm in contact with. But there is no doubt that this is something that I think might become more prevalent. And we need to, this is what it comes down to. I don't want to live my whole life being on guard.
Yes.
Like, we should have got out of that stage of human development, certainly in this country where we are. We are not under threat all the time. We have things that keep us safe. And yet, when you have to go through your everyday feeling like you're on guard against things like this, this is not good for us. It's not how I want to live my life. Now, I can't live in fairyland all the time, obviously, but when I look on this year, there have been a lot of battles this year, a lot of which are to do with completely unnecessary computer says no kind of systematic organization. And that does want to make me sometimes go and live on a farm and grow potatoes.
I think
but I know that will never happen.
One thing, if we don't want to go quite that far, no, I'm not that far from that, but if we don't want to go quite that far, we could, what I do find helpful, and I have really worked on, and I got this from Gary Vaynerchuk, and I really stick to it, is to try and surround myself with as much positivity as possible. Yeah. So yeah. I don't read the news in the morning with my breakfast anymore because it just makes me unhappy. Yeah. My podcast feed is filled with positive things that make me feel good. And it's not like toxic positivity. I'm not trying to, I don't mean that kind of positive things, but just things that make me feel good and positive and upbeat and optimistic about the world instead of make me feel depressed and down. My best friend keeps saying, oh, you should listen to his podcast about British politics. I'm like, no, thank you. I just really don't want to. Makes me feel tense and tight.
Yeah.
So, and same for people around us. If someone's always constantly negative, you maybe can't get rid of them. It might be your mum or whatever, but you can tune it down a little bit, spend a bit less time and try and surround yourself a bit with more positive. Because the more we get upset about these little dicks stealing our accounts or whatever it is they're doing, the more we're letting that spoil our lives and make us unhappy. And so that money thing, honestly, hasn't really made me that unhappy. The few days I was unhappy was when I was beating myself up for being stupid. And once I let that go, it's like, nah, well, it'll either sort itself out or it won't. But I'm not going to give them, they've already got that. I'm not also going to give them that my energy in being negative about it.
Yeah. And 5 a.m. is for sure the worst time to be thinking about it. I mean, stuff happens. And as you say, it's the stories that you tell yourself about it. Like whether we say, oh, this is disastrous because things can only exist in Facebook groups, not correct. You know, and you know that in the light of day. So I'm going to go and make a cup of tea and not browse a Facebook group because I can't.
And I'm going to go remove you from my Art Tribe membership just in case you start causing havoc in the meantime.
And keep an eye out. And if you do want to, have a way that is more reliable. So far, Instagram's still good, but you know, website is the way, alicesheridan.com. And you know, maybe this is the focus to get back and update and pay attention to that.
I was going to say, make sure you're on Alice's email list, and she's going to send an email to you if you make sure you're on her email list. She really will.
Yeah, it will. So there you go. That would be interesting, wouldn't it? Just imagine if there really was no social media, where would it all go instead? Food for thought. All right. Have a lovely week, everybody, and we will see you next time. I've got a couple of good things lined up, which actually I haven't told you about.
Oh.
I'll tell you about that off air. We've got a nice guest coming up.
Okay.
So you're going to get a week off for that.
Good.
So let's say goodbye to everybody, and I will let you know about it now, and we will see you next week. All right. Bye-bye.
Can't find the button, and I'll hit I'm recording.
Hang on. Me too. How are we going to start today then? Are we humorous and generous today? Okay, and here is the update. This is unedited, going out at the last minute, but I just wanted to let you know what's happened. And what has actually happened is this has been resolved. My account is back. I have access again. Nothing untoward has happened in any of my groups or any of my messages. Now, I wish I had a clear solution for you. I wish I had a step-by-step of how to retrieve your Facebook account when this happens to you. And what I'm going to try to do is collate everything that happened and actually put it together in a form where I can share with you. But the reality is, I'm not actually sure how it fully got resolved. I want to believe that my emails were read and responded to. I want to believe that it was more perhaps than just the email where Facebook messaged me and said, hey, we noticed there has been unusual activity on your ad account, but guess what? We've reviewed it and it's all fine, so you can carry on spending money with us. Yeah, dry sense of humour there. I want to believe that it would have just got sorted out on its own. The reality is an email came in with a different kind of confirmation code that I could use. And I was back in and the hacker's emails had been removed and I could re-add my emails, my contact details, sign in from different devices. And that was a whole load of kind of confirmation codes to get re-accessed. Even having done that, the hacker's email address was still in control of my ad account, which I didn't use that much because I didn't use Facebook ads really. And I needed to go in and double check that. So this is not just about Facebook fixing, although I do recommend a couple of things, which I will just give you pointers to at the end. But what I really wanted to say was, this is about how the whole situation felt. And the majority of the episode that you've just listened to, we recorded when it was very fresh, it was very new. I had been in that kind of stress state of real elevated anxiety, shock, confusion, lack of control. How has this happened? What the heck do I do about it? And I think that's really important to actually share, that nothing is, when these things happen, it is shocking and it is destabilizing. And that's really how it felt when I recorded this episode. And what I actually did the following day was decide to go ahead and have a lovely day out with my friends that had that we'd pre-planned. And it was a beautiful sunny day, walking across the bridge across the Thames. The sun was shining. I couldn't believe it was the end of September. It was gorgeous. And this is a good friend of mine. We've known each other for about 20 years, but she no longer lives nearby. So we see each other infrequently. And we had a lot to catch up on. We had a lot of belly laughs. We had a lot of what has life thrown at us this year. We had a lot of funny stories about children. And we just had really a fantastic day. And at some point in that walk along the South Bank, and those of you who haven't been to London, there's a lovely area along the South Bank of the River Thames. And it has an art gallery and lots of concert halls. And the Globe is along there. And it's a really lovely stretch of the river with restaurants and things out and about. And we were walking along there trying to find something to eat. And we passed by two poets who had set up Poet for Hire with their typewriters, sitting out, typing poems, pay what you want at the end. And we walked past them and said, oh, that would be fun. And I said, I should give them a poem about Facebook hacking. And we turned around and that's exactly what we did. And it felt like a real shift back into how can we find the silver lining here? How can we actually turn this into something positive? And if you want to read that poem, you can go to my Instagram account, which is at Alice Sheridan Studio. And you'll see that on a very recent reel, you can see the guy typing and then actually, it's on a post, not a reel, because I wanted to make it so that you could zoom in on the post and read the poem. So go to my Instagram account and have a look if you want to see what he wrote. And he just sat and wrote it off the bat, just like no thinking, just sat and wrote it. And there was something in that instinctive response, how creation comes into play, how it can help us see things differently. And it was a lovely thing to do and change. And then later in the day, I bought a piece of artwork from an artist at there was an art fair going along at the same time. And it was just a little message to self, really. So the point of sharing this with you is I had already decided to see this differently. I could have stayed stuck in that point of frustration, lack of control, upset, anger, all of those things about Facebook. And even by the next day, I'd already moved on to, where are the silver linings here? Where is the opportunity? How can I do something differently? And part of that is that I am looking at other opportunities for groups, which I'm quite excited about, which might very well turn into something a whole lot better than the place where I was. And how often do we have that in life when something happens and it's a disappointment, and then the next thing that happens as a result ends up being something better? And it takes a little bit of energy and conscious effort to shift out of that state when you're in the stuck, frustrated state. And when my Facebook account came back, was I pleased? Yes, because I have access to my photos. Yes, because I have access to my friends. And what I also noticed was no, because of some of the ways that it intrudes on my life. And that point of recognition is a very interesting learning within this for me, and that is what I'm working through at the moment. But I just wanted to come back and just let you know, A, where we were. If any of you are worried about getting messages from me, it's fixed, it's sorted, it's fine, nothing odd will be happening. So from a reassurance point of view, but also just this idea of how we see things and how we can move forward through that sometimes inevitable state of being stressed or upset. We're human, that happens. But it was also interesting that had already shifted by the time it resolved. Right, I'm going to hush up. Next time, I promise we will have a whole bunch more positive episode for you. And I hope you really enjoy the rest of the week.